This is a father, and the voice of an elderly father who lives in Israel, and his wife has recently died. He has two grown sons, and one of these sons, Dov, is quite estranged and has returned home to the family house after about 25 years. So this father and son are kind of rattling around in this house together, and the father is really addressing the son, making a kind of a last appeal to him, the son who he felt he in some way never understood, or who felt that he feels never understood him. I think that's all you have to know. Here, let me begin. You see, my child, a little bit every day I find myself contemplating my death, investigating it, dipping my toe, as it were, not practicing so much as interrogating its conditions while I still possess powers of interrogation and can still fathom oblivion. In one of these little excursions into the unknown, I uncovered something about you that I'd almost forgotten. For the first 3 years of your life, you knew nothing of death. You thought that it would all go on without end. On the first night you left your crib behind to sleep in a bed, I came to say goodnight to you. Now I'm going to sleep in a big boy bed forever, you asked. Yes, I said, and we sat together, I imagining you on a flight through the halls of eternity, clutching your blankie, and you imagining whatever a child imagines when he tries to conceive of forever. A few days later, you were sitting at the table playing with the food that you refused to eat. So don't eat, I said. But if you don't eat, you can't leave the table. It's as simple as that. Your lip began to tremble. Go ahead and sleep there for all I care, I said. This isn't how Mama does it, you whined. I don't care how she does it, I spat. This is how I do it, and you're not moving until you eat. You burst into tears, protesting and carrying on. I ignored you. After a while, silence filled the room, punctuated only by your little whimpers. Then, out of nowhere, you announced, when Yoella dies, we'll get a dog. I was surprised because of the bluntness of the statement and because I had no idea you knew anything of death. Won't you be sad when she dies, I asked, forgetting for a moment the war of the food. And you very practically replied, yes, because then we won't have a cat to pet. A moment passed. What does it look like when people die, you asked. As if they're asleep, I said, only they don't breathe. You thought about this. Do children die, you asked. I felt a pain open in my chest. Sometimes, I said. Perhaps I should have chosen other words, never or simply no. But I didn't lie to you. At least you can say that of me. Then turning your little face toward me without flinching, you asked, will I die? And as you said the words, horror filled me as it had never before. Tears burned my eyes, and instead of saying what I should have said, not for a long, long time, or not you, my child, you alone will live forever, I said simply, yes. And because no matter how you suffered, deep inside you were still an animal like any other who wants to live, feel the sun and be free, you said, but I don't want to die. The terrible injustice of it filled you, and you looked at me as if I were responsible. You'd be surprised by how often in my little peripatetic wanderings through the valley of death, I meet the child you once were. At first it surprised me too, but soon I came to look forward to these encounters. I tried to think about why it was that you would appear like that when the subject had so little to do with you. I came to realize it had to do with certain feelings I felt for the first time when you were a child. I don't know why Uri didn't arouse the same feelings before you. Maybe I was caught up in other things when he was an infant, or maybe I was still too young. There were only 3 years between you, but in those years I grew up. My youth officially came to an end, and I entered a new stage of life as a father and a man. By the time you were born, I understood in a way that I could not have with Uri just what the birth of a child means. How he grows, and how his innocence is slowly ruined, how his features change forever the first time he feels shame, how he comes to learn the meaning of disappointment, of disgust, how a whole world is contained inside of him, and it was mine to lose. I felt powerless against these things. And of course, you were a different kind of child than Uri. From the beginning, you seemed to know things and to hold them against me, as if you somehow understood that built into raising a child are inevitable acts of violence against him. Looking down into the crib at your tiny face contorted by screams of grief, there's nothing else to call it. I've never heard any baby cry like you. I was guilty before I'd even begun. I know how this sounds. After all, you were only a baby. But something about you attacked the weakest part of me, and I backed away.